I read to you previously from Ephesians chapter 1, Paul writes that you may know what is the hope of his calling, that you may know what is the wealth of his glorious inheritance in the saints, that you may know what is the incomparable greatness of his power toward us who believe, displayed in the exercise of his immense strength. And he's talking about the raising of Jesus Christ from the dead. So God who made stuff, and we live in the stuff, right? God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the power of God over all creation, is the same God who's present in the room now as we read his word. Is the same God who's present when we pray to him and say, you know, about the stuff we've been talking about, could you flex on my behalf, God? Please help. Help me with me. Help me with them. Help them with the stuff. And this is the God we're appealing to. Do you remember Jesus said to his disciples, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The words of Jesus Christ about the function of the Holy Spirit is reaching other people with the good news of Jesus Christ. Power. You guys who in the past have been scared and cowering and ineffective, particularly you who wax ears off people and declares your fidelity and who denies me 3 times and runs away off into the night, who's still gonna go try and quit and go back to his other job, his day job, all of you are gonna be helped when the Helper comes. In John chapter 16, he talked about the Helper. And in Acts chapter 1, he's talking about the Helper again, the Holy Spirit who will come. In chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, and in verse 1, he says, now concerning spiritual things, brothers, I don't want you to be uninformed. That's what we need to know about. The life of the believer concerning spiritual things. I'm not looking for a charismaniac outbreak in the life of Alva Baptist Church. The pneumatikos that Paul was talking about is the spiritual things that matter in the life of the believer. He said there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And he said there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who activates them in everyone. Gifts, yes. Service. Gifts in action, right? Activities. Things that people who are gifted do to do something, right? So Paul, he's not just talking about the gifts. So the need for the prophetic, the need for someone to declare, God says this and it matters to us. In a New Testament sense of the word, see now when you think about prophetic and you think like Isaiah and you think Ezekiel, right? Those guys spoke and everybody said, what did he say? Write it down. That's Bible, right? And so you've got the book of Isaiah. You've got the book of Ezekiel. That is not what is prophecy in the New Testament. In the New Testament, it is somebody with their dish mounted on the chimney saying, I believe that God would say to us this. And it's a congregational discernment about whether said person was speaking from God. And if there's agreement in the room from other people who also have the Spirit of God, that yes, that's God speaking. It's experimental almost. It's peculiar. But in no way does it take a higher priority than the Word of God that we rely on. So there is a New Testament concept of prophecy, but it is not the Old Testament concept of the prophet who speaks and write that down. Because that guy, if he spoke and it didn't happen, they took him to the end of town and they killed him. And that isn't the practice of the New Testament church. It seemed good to us and to the Holy Spirit to tell you that this is how you need to be Christian. What are the 2 rules that they send those people? Don't eat animals that are strangled, that still have the blood and the meat, and keep yourself away from sexual immorality. That's like all the rules for the Christian church. Okay? So it's like, don't sleep with your girlfriend, and by the way, don't drink blood. That's creepy. That's from the old pagan worship ways. Don't fall for that. Otherwise, just believe that Jesus freed you from all your sins and that you're forgiven. We have no other rule than that. How about it? That's strange. It seems incredibly liberal, if you ask me. Yeah. But here we are, prophecy in the New Testament. It's there in this list of gifts, right? The utterance of wisdom, the utterance of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, the ability to distinguish between spirits, which is basically, is it God or is it deceit, evil, wicked, demonically inspired? It's not telling, is it a good spirit or a bad spirit? There is the Holy Spirit and there is the liar. There is one third of all the angels that were cast out of heaven, the minions of Satan, where are they when they're kicked out of heaven? Who was Jesus dealing with when he dealt with a demon-possessed man living among the tombs? Where did they go when Jesus died and rose again and ascended to heaven? Jesus walked up to him. He said, I know who you are. The time has not come yet. Don't make me go. And then Jesus went away. He's still there, kicking about. Don't believe everything you think. There are thoughts of God, and there's carnal reasoning, and then there's demonically inspired lies from the pits of hell. It doesn't scare me. It doesn't freak me out. I'm not looking for the wildness of the excesses of other ministries that everyone in this room has probably heard about. I'm not scared of the boogeyman. God is bigger than the boogeyman. I'm sober about the reality that he's here, kicking about. When I read the book of Job, God says, Satan, where you been? And he said, oh, I've just been roaming about the earth to and fro. That's us down here. Yikes. It's in the Bible. It's not make-believe stuff. Is it make-believe stuff? Did Jesus rise from the dead? Oh, I believe that part. What's wrong with the other part? Oh, it's different. Why? Because it's hard to believe. Then the dead guy being alive again? Oh, I can believe that, but, science says different. Well, science is a belief system. I believe science. I think if they find stuff in the ground and they pick it up and they say, look at this, it means something, I agree. Figure out what it means. And then they go, oh, yeah, but, in an imaginary time where none of us were alive, we figure this happened. Oh, that's funny, because what you just said contradicts exactly what the Bible says. Yeah, so the Bible's not true. Why? Because what I imagine is true. Really? You found stuff in the dirt. You made a story about the stuff you found in the dirt, and I should believe your story. Yes. Okay. Who was there? Nobody. So I have a history book written by people who have preserved their history for thousands of years. Eyewitness accounts of things happening. And when did you guys start thinking about this stuff? Oh, a couple hundred years ago. Okay. Right. So the story that's thousands and thousands of years old that's made by people of eyewitness accounts, or the stuff you guys dreamt up because you dug up stuff and examined it. That's a conflict of belief systems, right? I want a merging of belief systems. That sounds like a weird thing. What I mean is, in light of the things that I hold are true, I look at the evidence for the other stuff. And I haven't ever found anything in scientific discovery that contradicts the things that God has done. What the contradiction that exists is the interpretation by other people of what it means. Not that there's actual, you dig up things and you find layers of stuff. That's not the contradiction. It's just, what does it all mean? Who did it? Well, God did it. No, it can't be God. Why? Because you can't prove God. Of course I can. Look at this guy. He's changed. This guy used to be really different. Except he started following Jesus. He's a completely different person. Look at the changed life of that individual. Look at Peter, who instead of, say, I made up a story, the Christian religion, died. That guy's life was changed. If you made it up, would you die for it? No. That's what's going on when we're looking at Scripture here. To each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. In the life of the church, things really happening are proof that the church is really alive. So stepping back from the horrible morass of the creation-evolution argument, because I don't even like that discussion. People try to have that discussion with me spontaneously, and I go, oh, no thanks, that's yucky. It never goes anywhere. Because it comes to the point of faith, And people tend to not want to compromise on their faith. They're invested in it. Right? You say, what are the reasons for your faith? And find out what's underneath the surface. Jesus said, blessed are you because you believe. Blessed are those who haven't seen and yet will still believe. It's harder to believe something you don't see. But if based on the eyewitness account of the things happening, you can believe, that's good for you. So people come and they say, well, make God be God right here in front of me again. And I know you did it last week, but now I've got my cousin Frank. Do it again. You know? We don't do that for car accidents. You know? If a car accident happened, it's a true thing. It's really a car accident. Two cars really hit, right? So you go to court, like, months later, right? Go to court, and the judge says, right, so what happened? We had a car accident. He hit me. I don't believe you. Well, yeah, he did. I mean, here's a witness. And there's a guy that was on the street corner. He's a witness, too. He ran into him, hit me. I don't believe you. Do it again. Repeat it. Show me the evidence again. Do it again. It has to be a repeatable experiment, or else it's not true. Does anything in the whole legal system work that way? It doesn't. It doesn't. But we got smart guys, scientists, saying repeatable experiments, the only way to know. And then suddenly, this whole principle of evidence and testimony and belief is out the window because they're thinking with half their brain. Paul is saying, in the life of the church, be alive. Be active. Be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Be someone who's different than you used to be. And let each other see the other caring for one another and be the church working. Don't be the people with a book telling you, you ought to be good, not naughty like me. Nobody likes that. God didn't call us to be a Christian jerk in the name of the Lord, you know? It is. You know, you're a little bit for judging somebody and saying they're bad and you're good. If your kids do that to each other, do you like it? No. When we do that to each other, we're two kids of God looking down. It doesn't seem wonderful to me.